Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, Florida Representative in the state of Florida. And we're talking about an issue today that I have just simply given it a broad brush title. Are we subject, slaves, or free people in America? And we've just been discussing the mask mandates. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says there are 34 states, and I've got a sheaf of about 20, 30 pages. There's 34 states in the District of Columbia mandate face coverings in public. And we've just been talking about the hazard of that, the danger of that, whether or not as Christians we need to be obedient to that. Congressman, if you'll hold on a minute, I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Hi, Pastor. I was wondering if you had any comments about this comment, that what's going on in the streets right now kind of reminds me of 1935 Germany with the brown shirts.
Well, I can answer that, and I'll let the congressman respond to it first, and then I'll respond to that.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, what we're seeing is an amazing transformation taking place in the United States right now. We have what they want to call peaceful protests, but they are anything but peaceful, and it's being allowed to happen. Simultaneously, we have people who, simply because they are not wearing a mask, as you stated in your monologue at the beginning of the show, are being arrested. Church members are being arrested simply for singing hymns, where they are constitutionally correct in a peaceful gathering. Their religious rights are being trampled upon. And what we are seeing is an amazing transformation right before our eyes, Dr. Youngblood, of this nation going towards socialism, which eventually leads to communism. And this election coming up in November is so important. We always hear that phrase, as it almost becomes a cliche, the most important election of my lifetime. But in this situation, I believe that is true. It is so important, and I'm going to say it, that we vote for President Donald Trump, get him reelected.
Amen.
Otherwise, this nation is going to slide into socialism and eventually communism. It will be the destruction of this nation.
Absolutely. And to be a little more poignantly pointed when answering the caller's question, may I simply put a parenthetical footnote on that statement? Yes, we are watching the absolute reenactment of the Hitler era in the 30s and the early 40s, from about 33 and following. We're watching the brown shirts, which I call those Black Lives Matter, BLM, socialist, Marxist, Maoist thugs in the street. And that's ginning up the reprisal against the citizens that are saying, no, we ought not to do that. No, we can't obey. No, we're not going to bow or bend to the demands. And part of the brown shirt operatives for Hitler happened to be a snitch system, S-N-I-T-C-H. And we're doing the same thing today in America, where people will call in and file a complaint because you're not wearing a mask, or because you're not social distancing, or because you're not following the letter of the law or the executive orders as they think you should. And so we're simply doing a replay of what is found. And the reason it is, I believe, part of the reason is because many of those thugs in the street and many of those that are holding their fist in the air with the power indicator is because they've not been taught the colleges and universities and our schools true American history. And the old cliche that if you don't learn history, you're bound to repeat it. And yet most of the professors in the colleges and universities and many of the teachers in our schools, public school system, are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-America. And as a result of that, they're teaching our youngsters today that America's bad, that communism is good, that socialism is better, that President Trump is the thug, and that we need to put Joe Biden in office. Those are the general thumb rules that I would call it that will answer your question in the affirmative. Yes, that's what we're watching. But thank you so much for your call and for your comment. Let me remind our listeners that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Congressman, you spoke of the fact that not just with the from the standpoint of the mask mandate, but with the reprisal and the persecution of Christians. Speak to the issue with Dr. John MacArthur and what's happening in California, and whether or not, in your opinion, based on our Constitution, is Dr. MacArthur doing the right thing, or should he just bow to the mandates of Gavin Newsom?
Dr. MacArthur is absolutely doing the right thing by not obeying Governor Newsom. Governor Newsom is acting like a dictator. He has stepped completely outside the bounds of his constitutional authority, and he should be resisted. His mandate should be rejected, and Dr. MacArthur is doing the correct thing. And in fact, I wish more churches would be courageous and stand with Dr. MacArthur and resist these unconstitutional draconian rules that are coming down from these governors, such as in California and Michigan, New Jersey, New York, completely unconstitutional what they are doing.
In fact, I believe it was Attorney General Bill Barr and other constitutional attorneys. One just ruled in Pennsylvania, one just ruled in, I believe it was North Carolina, that what the governors are doing is unconstitutional. And one of the judges made the statement that there's no pandemic, there's no medical crisis that warrants the draconian, unconstitutional lockdowns as we have seen take place. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I was calling in with a couple of statements. I feel that the American population is lazy and uneducated because we only listen to the news source that we watch every night, and we don't learn anything else. We don't try to go investigate anything else. And there is a lot of tyranny and tyrannical things happening throughout the United States that the news is not reporting on. So the American population has no idea it's going on. All they're getting shoved in front of their face all day long is COVID, COVID, COVID. There was a man who was arrested in South Dakota for not wearing a face mask. South Dakota never had a lockdown. They don't have a face mask mandate. And nobody wanted this man to get arrested, and he was drug out. The woman in Ohio, the three people in Idaho were singing hymns outside. And the most recent one that I've heard was that there was a car trying to escape a mob in California. The rioters pulled them out of their car. They were able to get back in their car and escape, and they were arrested by the L.A. Police Department. And so I have to say this. If BLM hadn't hijacked the whole police brutality banner, we would all be able to stand together with locked arms and fight against the true tyranny that is happening currently, where police officers are arresting law-abiding citizens and letting ruthless, violent, ungodly people go free. If the police don't get this fact and don't get this fact soon, they will not only have BLM after them, they will have red-blooded American patriots after them as well. Every day, I feel imprisoned, stifled, and annoyed to the point of hatred. And I'm to the point now, if I'm going to get arrested for trying to escape a group of violent thugs attacking me in my car, they will all die. I will run them all down, so at least the police have a real reason to throw me into prison.
It's sad for it had to come to that in the United States of America, isn't it? But I'm in agreement with what you're saying, that we're watching the draconian actions take place. And by the way, the lady that was arrested sitting in the football stands watching her son play football, I was simply amazed. I watched that. I don't know if, Congressman, if you've seen the video or if our caller's seen the video, but I watched with horror as those near, way out, away from social distancing, but they were near, men sitting there with their arms crossed, arms folded, doing nothing. And as she was being, after she was handcuffed, literally being dragged away by two officers She's looking back at the crowd in the stand, and she's saying, yes, we're all going to stand together, aren't we? We're all going to stand together, aren't we? You agreed we're going to stand together, and we've not. And they're sitting there with their arms folded, with their mask on, basically saying, I'm obeying. You're the one that didn't obey, so they're getting you. And Congressman, speak to that issue. Thank you so much for the caller. Call for our caller. Thank you so much. Congressman, do you see an irony in that, where back in the days of Hitler, different groups would say, well, that doesn't affect me, so I'm not saying nothing. Doesn't affect me, so I'm saying nothing, until there wasn't anybody to stand with anybody in relationship to that. Does that seem to be bode any indication of where we are in society today with that?
Yes, and what I think, Dr. Youngblood, is those men and the women also who stood there and watched this lady being tased and then handcuffed and drugged away, the cowardice of especially the men who would not stand up and at least say something in defense of that woman, but instead they would sit there, as you see, with their arms crossed, with their mask on, abject cowards who would not stand up to protect a woman. It's such a shame. And we see it time and time again where someone who's not wearing a mask, thank goodness I haven't witnessed it here in Florida or in Pensacola, but I've seen videos of it in places like New York, where someone going into a grocery store without a mask is being attacked by others who yes. are wearing masks, demanding that they put one on.
Yes.
And it's utterly amazing what we are seeing. We're in just such a short period of time, this nation has moved away from being free to accepting these government lockdowns, these government mandates, which have no scientific medical rationale behind them. In fact, we're seeing in Sweden, where they never did have a lockdown, never did do the mask mandates. And I read an article recently where a scientist has declared that they have herd immunity now to the COVID-19 virus, and their economy was not destroyed as ours was here in the U.S., and is still reeling and trying to recover from it.
Yes. In fact, it is fascinating, but we'll talk about it in a moment, where our governor here in the state of Florida has gone through discussion with what is called an expert panel, and he is saying that we are not going to have a further lockdown. In fact, he's advocating that we release any lockdown. But I'm looking at an article here by Matt Staver with the Liberty Council that said since March, Liberty Council has represented about 2,000 pastors and churches covering 44 states for their liberties to be recognized. And further in the article, it says, throughout history, the Christian church has been the last and the best resistance to ungodly governmental overreach and authority, end quote. And so I'm thankful that churches are taking that stand. Howbeit, I've said as far back as March of this year that every pastor should not close the church. Every pastor should remain open and say, come and get me if you can, because as I have advocated, Congressman, they don't have enough jail cells to put us all in if we take that position or that stand. But I am thankful that there is some rationality in some parts of our nation today. This article that I alluded to says, Florida governor hosts expert panel that condemns lockdown. Amid the panic over the rise in coronavirus cases that corresponds with an increase in testing, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis held a virtual roundtable discussion Thursday with a professor from Harvard and two from Stanford who contend lockdowns only make the pandemic worse. And it goes on to talk about those two, but DeSantis asked the professor if lockdowns of society as a whole actually could increase the risk for elderly population, noting the CDC indicates a survival rate of 99.9997% for ages 0 to 19, 99.98% for for ages 20 to 49, 99.95% for 50 to 69, and 94.6% for those over 70. So, Congressman, what I am seeing is that we have a good indication in the state of Florida that we will see an end to this. In fact, by the way, in watching his the governor of Florida's press conference, he is advocating that the state open up completely, churches, bars, lounges. I'm not advocating that, however, but churches, bars, lounges, hotels, et cetera, that will open the state. In fact, there's evidence, as you said, that across the nation and around the world, for those who have instituted the herd immunity, that the herd immunity gets it through the population quickly and it's not as severe, and you have a far greater survival rate. What is your response to what we understand that the governor is doing in the state of Florida? Is that good? Is it bad? Or what would we modulate?
It's a very good thing, but I also think that he's late with it.
Yes.
I was shocked when the governor initially called for the lockdown several months ago. I couldn't believe that he was doing it because there was no medical necessary reason for doing it, for destroying our economies. I know of businesses here in Pensacola that had to shut down, have not reopened. They had to just go out of business completely because of that lockdown measure. Now, the Constitution, the Florida Constitution, does not even give the governor the authority to issue that lockdown order. What our Constitution says that the governor can issue executive orders in a time of an emergency, and that emergency is defined as natural disasters, invasion, or insurrection. Those are the three things that he can call an emergency for and issue executive orders. It also says that that executive order is only to last for 30 days. But then the very next sentence, Dr. Youngblood says, unless the governor extends it. So I think we need to change that. I'm sorry, it's not in our Constitution. It's a Florida statute. Let me back up. It's our Florida statute. And I think our legislative body needs to amend that Florida statute two ways. Number one, they need to make the threshold higher for when a governor can issue an executive order or declare an emergency. And number two, if the governor is going to extend it beyond 30 days, it must have legislative approval. So now we're getting we the people involved in this, and not just one person acting as a dictator.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm an advocate for that. I have already talked with two other Florida legislators and plan on talking with all of our Duval delegation and others, asking them would they be willing to introduce, sponsor, and co-sponsor legislation in the spring that would put restraints on the governors and mayors in the state of Florida. For example, you're probably aware of the fact we have one state, and it eludes me as to which state, but there's one state that already has it that governor or the mayors can do emergency executive orders for up to 28 days. After 28 days, it must be voted on through the House and the Senate and approved as legislation for it to be extended beyond that. That gives the representative form of government, i.e. we the people, having input on how our lives are going to be controlled by those political leadership in our nation. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I believe that it is imperative. In fact, I would love to see someone be able to get in the House drafting division or the Senate bill drafting section to get a rough draft of a bill that we can analyze and look at, modify, and come up with the wording of it, and get about half a dozen or a dozen representatives and senators to sponsor and co-sponsor it, that can be done. I believe that is imperative for the state of Florida, because what we've seen happen in our state as well as across America with the disintegration and the deterioration and the destruction of our free enterprise system is totally antithetical to our Constitution. It's saying that the government has the right to tell you that you can't work, that the government has the right to tell you that you can't earn a living, that the government has the right to tell you that you must close your business. And that's never happened in the history of the United States of America.
That's right. And it shouldn't have happened this time either, Dr. Youngblood. You know, and it went even further. It was telling people that they had to stay in their homes, that they couldn't go out to a public park, but had to stay in their homes. It amazing how many people complied, first of all, and amazing that they would issue such an unconstitutional, unfreedom, draconian measures. It was completely shocking to me to see what happened. Now, my own business, I own an insurance agency. We stayed open the entire time. We did not shut down. We did not demand that people wear masks when they come into our businesses and so forth. And I have 4 employees here. Now, I will admit that 2 of my employees tested positive for COVID, but it was not from customers coming into our office. It was one of my employees belonged to a running club, and she was exposed to it there and brought it into the office. But both recovered within 7 to 10 days, just like any other type of flu. They were uncomfortable, but they recovered completely and are doing well. And as those statistics you cited just a little while ago, Dr. Youngblood, of the recovery rate being over 90%, over 95% for most people. So why on earth would we destroy an entire economy? Why on earth would we trample on our freedoms when there is such a large recovery rate? It doesn't even make sense.
And one of the things, Congressman, we'll talk about it, and then we'll jump to another part of the scenario for America and for we the people today. But another part of that is in fact, I occasionally receive what I call love mail. Those that disagree vehemently and want to call me names as a result of what's said. At one individual that wanted to chide me in his letter. Of course, it was not signed. There's no such thing as a communist. There's no such thing as a COVID pass. There's no such thing as eventually where the government will say, you've got to take a vaccination. And just basically ranted because of the position that I've taken. And I have, anytime I do a broadcast with the issue, I have anywhere from 5 to 100 articles of validation of what I'm saying. But nevertheless, he wanted to challenge it. But one of the things that we do find is that though in some cases we're talking about now government with the mask mandates, et cetera, but when it comes to the COVID vaccination, for example, it's going to be businesses and industry and trade and the medical institutions that force the citizens to be vaccinated. And I am petrified to think of the future with the COVID vaccination in order to have a COVID pass so that you can go into businesses. What are your thoughts in relationship to the COVID vaccination that's now 6 companies out of the 9, 6 companies, pharmaceutical houses, that's on the fast track, 3 of which are saying they'll have it within the next 30, 60 to 90 days. Should we depend on that? Should we trust that? Should free citizens voluntarily say, vaccinate me? And if we say no, what's the future for that person?
Well, I'll tell you, I, for one, will not get vaccinated, Dr. Youngblood. I refuse. And I have not gotten a flu shot in over 20 years, actually longer than that, 30 years. The last flu shot I got was when I was in the military, and they ordered you to do it. And I left the military in 1990. I have not gotten a shot since then. And I refuse to get the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. I saw a study that was put out by Cheryl Atkinson where they took a poll asking the question of would you receive the COVID-19 vaccine, and it said it corresponded with what we've seen in the past when other vaccines came out, that about 57% of the public said that they will not get the vaccine. So, and it's not just with COVID-19. They found the same thing with the polio vaccine and vaccines prior to that, that typically and about 57% of the public said, we're not going to get it. They just refuse to. And I believe that is part of the freedom-loving backbone that most Americans have, that they enjoy their freedom too much to be told by the government what you will do.
Amen. Absolutely. Let's switch gears for just a moment for the couple of minutes that we have left on the broadcast today. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. She was probably the most liberal on the bench. She performed the first sodomite marriage in 2013. She was one that, after the vote for sodomite marriages in 2015, she performed the second sodomite marriage in America. She was the main pusher of the LGBTQ agenda. She was a real forceful push for the abortion agenda, etc. President Trump has the authority and the opportunity to appoint, to nominate, and the Senate has the responsibility of voting yes or no. What do you think he should do? Should they fast-track that? My opinion, I'll throw this out and then you can respond. My opinion, that if it is the one that perhaps has already been high-profile discussed, that was just gone through the confirmation hearings in 2017, if that's the nominee, I think that they need to have a fast track in the Senate with no debate, do what is called cloture, I believe it is called, shut off debate, and immediately go to the voting process. What are your thoughts? We've got about a minute and a half. How should we respond to that?
I agree with you 100%, Dr. Youngblood. I think that the judge who is being looked at strongly right now, that we're hearing about in the media, should be nominated and brought before the Senate body, and instead of going through that circus that we've seen most recently with Kavanaugh and others, that we do just take it directly to a vote and get rid of this charade that we see of attacks that come from the left primarily. I think it should be done immediately. I think that it will help President Trump in his election, and of course, it is going to make us a much more stable Supreme Court. And what we need to get away from, Dr. Youngblood, in my opinion, is allowing just a Supreme Court, a majority Supreme Court, for only five people deciding so many of our important social issues in this nation. More and more of our issues should be decided at the state level and not at the federal level.
Absolutely. It is my prayer and desire, and I have said to all of our listeners time and time again, and I'll reiterate that today, that we need to keep on praying, keep on lifting President Trump up before the Lord, asking God to divinely intervene and give us victory on November the 3rd. And I am concerned, Congressman, about the mail-in ballots and what that's going to do to our election process. But all we can do is seek God and ask God to heal our land. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issue. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.